Welcome back, everybody, to Grisha Watch. Shadow and Bone Season 2 has dropped, which means that Aaron and I are back with Grisha Watch Season 2, the podcast where myself and Aaron go through each episode as somebody who has read and enjoyed the books, myself and Aaron, who are seeing all of this for the very first time. Say hello, Aaron.
Hello, Aaron.
I feel like there was a hesitant pause there. I feel like you're
It's called a breath.
I'm gonna need some more enthusiasm. It's not like this is the third time we've tried to do this opener.
Yeah. I'm putting them all in there, by the way.
No, we're not. If you are listening to this is our first attempt, my very first attempt at getting this opener. You know, it's a welcome back for the listeners, and it's a welcome back for you and I as well, okay? I gotta get into the mode of podcasting because, as you know, I spend about 15 minutes at the beginning of every episode trying to figure out how to start.
I mean, it's not as if it's been, I don't know, 4 years, maybe?
Don't worry about how long it's been. Don't worry about how long it's been.
Actually, has it been 4 years into this?
When was season one of His Dark Materials? Because that would have been our first.
But that's 3 years at least on that.
Yeah. We're already getting off topic. We are already getting off topic. What a fantastic start. If you've been here before, you know this is how it goes.
This is real.
Yeah, so this season, we are heading into season two of Shadow and Bone, and I'm a little curious how this is going to go. I haven't looked up too much about the series, so Aaron, as always, is on a total media blackout. So he has not seen any character posters, he hasn't seen any trailers, he doesn't know anything about what's coming up. I don't go quite as far on the media blackout because I've read the books. There's not really a ton of surprises for me. So one of the things that I'm aware of is that it seems that we are going into books 2 and 3, given things that the showrunner has said. So in prep for this season, I just finished, not 2 hours ago, rereading Siege and Storm and Ruin and Rising. And I am really curious how far into Ruin and Rising we're going to get, which is the third book. Aaron, again, does not get any kind of hints from me on what happens in the book. However,
you slip up, you slip of the tongue, you let a little more go than you would like, and I deduce, we'll use that word, plots, you know, because I can't say that they've been like, oh, word for word, page for page for the book, of course, because I haven't read the book or whatever, but the writing's on the wall. Let's say that the writing's on the wall, and you're pointing to it sometimes. So
I am sometimes, because especially as we were just watching this, so we also just rewatched the finale episode of season one. There are certain times where I'll point out something that's different in the book, where I say, you know, this doesn't happen in the book, or this thing happens that they left out, and that changes X thing that's going to happen down the line further on. I try not to get too much into that, but it comes up sometimes. The other thing is, the only thing you have a little bit more of an inkling of this time around is that I have not made it a secret that I don't like the second book in this series.
Yeah, but that's just a preference, or, you know, that's your opinion on it. You don't say anything like why. You just said nothing happens. But nothing to you could be something to me. Like,
that's very true.
So I feel like you're only saying that. And actually, I don't know, because I don't know if you felt this way when you first read the book.
I did.
Okay, because I'm like, what if it was a thing where you feel like nothing's happened because you have the bigger picture. You've read all the books, so you're like, well, then the second one really didn't need to happen. So,
yeah, no, even the first time that I read Siege and Storm, I remember, which is the second book, I remember kind of just, it doesn't need to be there. There's not a lot that happens. But going back to the fact that they're combining books 2 and 3, it seems like, for the second season, that was not much of a surprise to me because of that idea that from, I think, the very first conversations you and I ever had about this TV show coming up, I was constantly saying, I don't know what they're going to do for season two, because Siege and Storm cannot hold a season of television on its own. Don't really know what they're going to do there, because it just that book cannot hold 8 episodes. It can't do it. So I guess the way that they're getting around that is, A, they added the crows, which are going to be around this season as well. And B, they're also going to put Ruin and Rising into it, which is book 3. What I don't know is how far into book 3 we're going to go. Are they going to do the entirety of book 2 and book 3? Or are they just going to pad out some of the time with some of the events that happen in book 3? I don't know. You and I are going to be figuring this out together.
So what's interesting is then that wraps up that trilogy, though.
And correct.
That's only two seasons. So would they be like, okay, we do two seasons that'll wrap up this trilogy. We'll do two seasons that maybe wrap up the six, and then we'll do two more seasons that does everything.
I think that would be,
that could be a possible plan.
That would be the gold standard. If everything goes right, they could do two seasons of Shadow and Bone, two seasons of Six of Crows, two seasons of King of Scars. I think that would be the ideal way for this to happen, but who knows? Netflix loves to cancel things. Please don't cancel this.
And then just throw it out on like a Blu-ray bundle type of situation for people to have on their own.
Do we do physical media for these anymore? I don't think we really do.
Do you like physical media?
I would like to have some, specifically because of the conversations you and I have been having recently about these shows that are getting canceled and pulled from their websites, and there exists no physical way to watch them. So, like, ideally, I would like for us to get, like, a big box set of the show, but who knows?
So, I'm just saying, I don't even know if Netflix does things or whatever production company is behind. Is it Netflix?
Yeah, it's a, it, well, Netflix distributes it.
Yeah, okay.
So they would be in charge.
Yeah, they could probably do something. All right.
So having said all of that, we are heading into season two. We're heading into, for sure, Siege and Storm, bits and pieces at least of Ruin and Rising. We've got some Crows content. I'm a little curious to see where we're going. This is another thing that maybe, I don't know that this is things that I've let slip to you, but, you know, I've talked about these before. There's introduction of new characters that had me concerned because they kind of catalyze the events of Six of Crows. And
yeah,
I feel like
you let that slip.
I don't know if that's a slip. I feel like, because I just needed to, you're the only other person I know that really watches this show. So like when I need to talk about something, I'm like, let me tell you as much as I can without giving anything away. But there's at least an important new character that we're going to see that is very important in the lead up to Six of Crows. So I don't know how they're going to get around doing the Six of Crows plotline while also introducing this character. There's at least certain snippets from the trailer where it seems like they're going into Crows territory. I don't know. I'm very concerned, because what it really comes down to for me is that I like having the Crows characters there to pad out Shadow and Bone, but I don't want Shadow and Bone to be impacting how much time we get with the Crows, because like they need their own show, their own time, and the showrunner has already said they're not going to do the main plot of Six of Crows in Shadow and Bone because it needs its own time. But like, how far up to that line are we gonna get?
I think what's gonna happen is this new character, because there's only five Crows
that we've seen so far in Shadow and Bone.
That we've seen. And you told me that the sixth one is probably going to be introduced in this next one. The only thing I can think of is, from the writer's standpoint, they're going to be like, we're not just going to shove this character in there. We're going to want you to get more acquainted with this character. So let's give them some fictionalized backstory that we can throw in there, a la The Killing Joke with Batgirl. And
first of all, how dare you?
I'm just giving an example.
A bad one.
And then when it's time for Six of Crows to actually be its own series, she's not this, you know, unfamiliar character. Like, you're invested now. That's what
right.
So I can see them
essentially what they're already doing with the Crows.
Yeah, so I can see them doing the side plot, like with the two that we just watched. I'm already forgetting their names.
Nina and Matthias.
Yeah. How they just did a whole side story with them, and you said none of that is in there, or it's not in depth like that in this, you know.
Right, you kind of you get that storyline for them told in, like, in the future. They're talking about the past. You don't really get to see it as it happens.
Yeah, so I think that's what we're going to get. I think they're going to follow that format. That's what's going to happen.
And as we're on this, as I'm talking about this quote-unquote new character, and I'm not necessarily naming names, this is another thing that you will notice in the show that I want to remind listeners of. If you have read the books and you hear Aaron asking me questions that I'm either not answering incorrectly, or acting like I don't know the answer to, it's not because I have forgotten the books. It's because I go pretty far to not give anything away to Aaron that he shouldn't already know. So there are times where you will ask me things, and I will say I don't know, I will say it's not in the book, I will say some variation of something like that, and in my head I'm like, of course I fucking know. It's in the book. I've read it. But I don't want you to know. And I just need the listeners to know I'm not a dumbass. I'm doing it on purpose.
Don't worry about what people think about you and your knowledge or lack thereof.
I just need the people to know that I know everything.
They
have an eidetic memory, as you know.
Yeah, sure you do.
I have an ironclad memory. I never forget a thing.
You have the memory of a goldfish. That's exactly what you have.
I'm doing great. The only thing that I'm worried about, so I did, like I mentioned, I read Siege and Storm a few days ago, and I just finished Ruin and Rising a couple hours ago. What I did not do is I didn't reread Six of Crows because they're hopefully not going too deep into it. So that's going to be the only bit that I don't have the most recent memory of. So the last time, well, the only time that I read Six of Crows and Crooked Kingdom would have been in, like, I don't know, October of 2020. So we're going on like 2.5 years since I read Six of Crows. That'll be the thing that
I'm surprised you didn't just read it for fun, though.
I thought about it. If I had given myself more time, I would have. And now that I finished Ruin and Rising, I actually really would like to jump into, actually kind of King of Scars is the one that I want to jump into. But I would really like to jump into Six of Crows. And now I'm like, nope, I got other things going on. I can't just devote myself to the next 4 books in this. But it is the urge is there. If I had given myself more time, I probably would have reread Six of Crows. It's a good book. It's a good book.
Yeah, no, I see it on every book talks list for top whatever.
It's like, very good.
Six of Crows is a good one. And it's like, okay, we get it.
There is a reason that woman just got an 8-figure deal for 12 more books.
Which, did you ever answer? I can't remember. Is it going to be in this universe or her own separate thing?
They said literally nothing. All they said is 12 books, a variety of age ranges, genres, and media. So it could be more books in the Grishaverse. It could be graphic novels in the Grishaverse. She's done that with The Demon in the Woods. It could be any number of things. Just gonna there's going to be 12
children's
of them.
Books.
And it could be. What I imagine is, because I'm curious if that also includes the thing she's already contracted for, like her next, well, I guess it wouldn't be. It wouldn't include. So that does not include the third Ninth House book, which is her completely separate series that has nothing to do with
Grishaverse.
Want to
say her name since we haven't said her name
oh,
at all?
Oh, am I just talking around Leigh Bardugo without ever actually saying Leigh Bardugo?
Not one time. So
I'm assuming
that's
the
new
people
could have been
know.
Like, yeah, well, you shouldn't assume about the people.
Wow.
Always...
I think the people are smart. I like you people, all right? And I think that you are smart and you know that I'm talking about Leigh Bardugo. But
and
yeah.
I like to help people.
Wow. So, yes. All that to say, she has recently gotten a huge, massive book deal, which means we could get more Grishaverse or we could not. She was very clear when the last King of Scars book came out, The Rule of Wolves, which was a closure for Grishaverse. She was very clear that you know, if she never came back to it, that could be the end. That she wrote it to be an ending in case she never went back to it. But she also leaves it open for there to be more, so it could go either way. But to bring it back around.
Yeah, that's good. Okay.
To circle it back around to the TV show, the reason that you and I are here today. So what are you expecting or wanting or thinking about from season 2? Because you and I just finished watching the finale of season 1.
With the refresher, which I'm glad it did, because I did not remember that she's on the run. The main character is on the run.
She is.
Her boo thing. And who, again, is just useless. I'm sorry.
And we talked about this in the first season. They made Mal nicer in the show than he is in the books. And you're still like, you don't like him?
Only because it's just like they seem like they didn't have chemistry. I thought I said that in the first season sometime. He's kind of just a block of wood, like just there. Like,
I'm not gonna lie, that's pretty accurate to book one, Mal.
Yeah, but like, so then why would I care about this character then?
Fair
like,
enough.
I think about that. Like, maybe do you have to care about every character, Aaron? Yes, to some degree, you should care about every character, especially if they're in the forefront with the main character, with the protagonist. So, yes.
I think the answer there is yes, you should care about every character. Where that usually, that question comes up is, do you have to like every character? That answer is no, but you do have to care about every character.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that's true. That's true. You don't have to like every character, but they should, I don't know, move the needle somewhere in the story. But now, actually, with seeing that, I'm a little more interested in the villain. I'm the Darkling, the Dark One, what's his name?
The Darkling.
Because he's on the loose, he's got the scarred up face, he's summoning these creatures, and he's not in the shadows anymore. people, no, I guess technically he would be, because everybody that knows his plan is on either on the run or dead. Except for, what was the win, the cutie girl?
Zoya.
Yeah, Zoya, which I don't know where they're going with her, actually. Zoya is going to go visit her family that's on this side of the
Rift. Her family was in that city that just got destroyed.
Yeah, but see, I don't even know, did everybody die in that? How far did that rift go further in? Just to the city and then stopped?
Yeah, it because that was his whole plan, was he was going to basically extend it into Novokhabirsk, which was that city where the docks were, to let everybody know that he had the ability to do that. He's like, I want you to see that I can eat an entire city, so none of you ever try to fuck with me again, and you'll listen to everything I say.
So she's going to go find the corpse.
Something, I guess.
The corpses. And I don't know. I'm actually interested again in the Darkling. I want to know, where do you go from here now? Do you just wage all out war on everybody? Do you have that type of power? Because, you know, he said follow, and then just it seemed like the beginnings of some type of army was walking out of that darkness. So are we escalating everything up? Where does she go from now? Where does the protagonist go? Like, who's going to believe her? You know, and
they end the series, or they end the season, in an interesting place for her, because she and Mal and the crows, they're all in the same boat, which is kind of, I remember being one of the odd things, because the show almost makes you think they've split up, and then they all end up back in the same place anyway. But
yeah,
she and Mal end up on a boat headed for Ketterdam, or, you know, who knows, but headed for Ketterdam. And it makes it very clear in her narration that, like, they're leaving specifically for her to get strong again and then come back. And the book doesn't really end that way. Shadow and Bone, the book, doesn't really end quite so concretely. Like, she and Mal are getting the hell out of Dodge. And it's kind of one of those things where, like, it would be nice someday to come back and maybe set things right and try and get their country back and fight. But they're really just, they're getting the hell out.
So my question, though, because my memory works, what was the purpose of her leaving those people on the skiff instead of just taking them with her?
Because the Darkling was on the skiff. So she had to get away from him. She had to get away from the skiff. She had to get away from everything that was happening there. So they ran away from him. And because everybody was still on that skiff, she had to leave them too. It wasn't one of those these things where she could take...
It was 40 people, right?
Yeah, it was like 40 or 50 people on that skiff.
Okay. And not one person saw a shield of light leaving and being like, I'm going to go with that.
They couldn't exactly catch up to her, no.
How? She was on foot, right? You said she was on foot. This is my life.
It was a battle. There was a whole thing. She doesn't know if there were any survivors. She kind of hopes that there were, but knows that it's kind of this false hope that she left all those people to die.
Who's with her? Who's with her in the book?
Mal.
Who's with her? Just Mal.
Yes.
So the Wind Girl's not there.
Where is Zoya at this point? No, Zoya is not on the skiff.
Okay, so Zoya isn't. So the only people that actually were on that skiff from the TV show were Mal. What's the main girl's name?
Alina.
Alina. So Mal, Alina, and the Darkling. That's
yes.
it.
Yes. Okay. And whoever, you know, his opprichniki, his guard, his...
And all those people are irrelevant. The people are irrelevant.
Because the crows aren't there and Zoya's not there, which are the only other people that make it out with her in the show.
That's what I was getting to. Because, like, on the show, we got a whole crew that got off that boat and made it back to civilization, basically. But you're saying in the book, it was just those two. And then they hoof it back to wherever.
So there's not a lot of real information about what happened in the Fold because of that. There's rumors. People know that Novokhabirsk got. They know that place got decimated, but nobody has a really good understanding of exactly what happened, which is what leaves it open for anybody to say anything and start planting seeds.
Okay. So rumors are going to be spread in the beginning of next season.
So there's all of that going on. But in the show, we've got a very definite, like, Alina and Mal are going away temporarily to come back. And, you know, when I'm strong, we're going to come back and take down the Fold. Because even as they think that the Darkling is gone, the fold is very much still a problem. It's still there. And ideally, they would like to deal with it, but they, A, don't know how, and B, again, are still just trying to get out of Dodge.
Again, it's not a problem. We discussed this first season. They're just poor tacticians. I've seen the maps. I know the strategies. Mm-hmm, very poor tacticians. Very, very poor tacticians.
Sure. Sure.
I would have won this war.
It's been like 400 years, but it's definitely because you weren't there. I would have won
this war ages ago. Ages ago. It's the easiest thing.
I'm sure you would have.
I want to do like a live video thing. You and I with the map. And I will in detail explain my 5-year plan to win the war so that the people of Ravka can sleep easy. Mm-hmm, that's what needs to happen.
Well, but you know what? You sleep on that. And tomorrow, when we watch the show, you can let me know all about it.
I definitely will.
So that is our quick recap, our quick get back to it, our quick little welcome back. We are going to get some rest, and I'm going to rest my brain, which doesn't want to work tonight for some reason. Yeah, and I don't know what's going on with me. I was losing trains of thought left and right, but I'm really excited. I'm very excited. So we are going to spend the next 2 days.
Trains of thoughts.
First of all, how dare you? We're going to spend the next 2 days watching through Shadow and Bone Season 2 and recording Season 2 of Breesha Watch. And if you're listening to this, then you've got some new episodes coming your way.
Is that it? Is that how you're going to end it?
Yes.